Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We going down south. We going down to Georgia. Are you in Georgia or North Carolina?
I am in Georgia.
She's in Georgia. I thought so. I heard that Georgia drawl. I love it. I love her her accent. So, brains, we have Catherine Bullock on the edge with us, and we going somewhere different today. We're going to a different side. I don't want to say dark side. It could be light side. Just depends on, you know, what you're dealing with. But she's a cottage witch. What is a cottage witch? What does that mean? Is that white magic? Is it black magic? What is she doing for people, with people, energetically and through their soul? What is she teaching people? And what gives her the gifts and the modalities to help people reclaim their lives? We're going to ask her that and then some. Right here on the edge. There she is, sitting there just as pretty as she can be. Hello, how are you?
Hello, hello, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
So we're going to go deep. We're going to ask some questions because folks want to know. Hell, I want to know. What's really going on in the world, you know, because I get stuck in the light. You know, and the light can be blinding, okay? If you have never been in the dark, you will never appreciate the light. Okay. And so it is a transition. It is a portal. It is something that we must all go through. Let's start at the basics. Who is Catherine Bullock?
Hello, everybody. My name is Catherine, and I am your cottage witch. And who I am as a person is an absolute nerd. Friday nights, I dedicate to Dungeons and Dragons.
That's my daughter. You might know my daughter because she was excited when I told her that you were going to be on here. She plays Dungeons and Dragons, girl. And you guys can play that for 4 or 5 hours. I just don't get the role play. She's in the LARPing. She is a cosplayer. I'm going to have to introduce you to her because she was excited. She's, oh my God, you got a cottage witch and her eyes got all big. And I was like, yeah, wow. Okay. Let me get turned up.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
So tell me about you. I love nerds too. Nerds are sexy.
So I am in the South, born and raised, always been here. And that has really been a driving part of me. A lot of folks are like, there's no difference between the North and South, or there's nothing but differences. And I like to bring in that Southern hospitality wherever I go. More about me is I'm married to the love of my life. And he is wonderful. And we have a black cat whose name is Small Cat.
And, Small Cat. Okay.
Yes. His name is Small Cat because he's a very fat cat. And you know, you guess sometimes you got to be on the nose with it.
I had a cat in my backyard yesterday. I tell you, he was, I bet you he weighed about 25, 30 pounds, scared me. His tail was this long. I said, where did you come from? And wherever it was, go back. But we did have a mouse in the backyard. So, you know, I didn't want to run him away too quick. But so you had a black cat.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
And I have personally been through a whole lot of shit in life. So I understand where people are when it comes to wherever they are. I'm not going to dive too deep into it because, you know, we're just hanging out today, having a nice light vibe. But I grew up very poor in a trailer that had holes in the floor. And when I tell people that, they go, ew, that's real gross. And I'm like, yes, it is. My mom did a lot of drugs and she was an addict and I took care of her for most of my growing up into adulthood. And so I've been to the dark side.
Right.
And I've also been able to see the light. Like with my life right now, I own a house and I have my wonderful husband. And we have three friends that live with us in this house because we're about creating a community. And we joke that we're a creepy commune. We're not, but we joke that we are.
Are you, what do they call these? What do they call these families now? I don't know. It'll come to me. But yeah, I mean, but you're creating, are you creating a cult?
Absolutely. No. If it's a cult about love and acceptance, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Is this a polyamorous household?
No, sadly, it is not.
Okay. Well, now you say sadly, you know, that's, it's springing up everywhere. I'm just asking. I'm not judging. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to catch up.
No, everyone we are with, we accept as our brothers. I'm actually the only lady in the house, which is interesting.
Yeah, I know. And you're probably the boss.
The boss. I am. Lady. I'm the queen bee.
That's right. You are the college witch.
I am.
Okay, so now you got married and you found love. Mm-hmm. How did you find love through all of this darkness and all of the trauma that you went through? I mean, you know, sometimes seeing someone, especially your mother, because that's real hard. People are more accepting of fathers being on drugs than their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens. But seeing that and really kind of the things that she goes through and what she had to go through to get drugs, and you know, to try to raise, are you the only child?
Yes and no. I have a sister, but she's like 18 years older than I am. Okay. And we didn't really connect.
So to see all of that, how did you ever get away to seek and find love for yourself?
It was actually through a friend of mine. They were like, hey, here's my other friend, Phoenix. Y'all just hang out, I guess. And here we are 12, 13 years later.
Wow. I like his name, Phoenix. He's rising. Is that his birth name or is that, did he change his name? That's beautiful.
That is his birth name.
He was meant for you, Catherine. Mm-hmm. So now you're in this house with these four fellas. You're the cottage witch. You're running things. But you also are into very spiritual music. I've watched some of your videos and, you know, I have singing bowls and I'm telling you, Brains, you need to get one. I have the quartz ones and they are off the chain. I got the metal ones right here on my desk. I play them every day. They open up a portal. The vibration is like seeing ripples on the water. It really carries. It's like burning incense too. You know, I do that and burn some sage. I be trying to keep them spirits in line. But it opens up a portal. How did you get into music? And is one of your housemates there? Is that one of the musicians?
No. So I got into music when I was very, very young. I actually started choir when basically from the time I could talk. And so I did that for till I was 22. So about 16 years, I think, somewhere in there. And the voice was always something that was very, very powerful to me. Like, no matter what, like, it didn't care what was going on with my mom. If I had a choir concert, I'm sorry, you're going to be sleeping on the floor if that's what you have to do. And like, I know that's mean to say, but when you choose that over your kid, your kid's going to go choose some other things.
You had to find a life. Did you stay away from drugs?
Mm-hmm.
And alcohol?
I've tried alcohol. It doesn't agree with me. So
that's good.
Once in a while, I have a glass of mead, but.
I know. So how's your mom doing now?
She has actually passed.
Oh, bless her heart.
But I am grateful because it means my dad is able to move on. Because he had to deal with all that. He was working all the time. And
you live with your mom and your dad, and your mom was a substance abuser and your dad wasn't?
Mm-mm. He did all the work. He did everything he could to make sure everything was paid. And so he did a lot of long hours, and I'm very grateful for him. And I'm so happy because we have such a good relationship.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you going to have children?
No. No? No, no kids. Not right now, at least.
Yeah, you got a cat.
Exactly.
But if you had a child, What would you tell your child about life?
I would tell them that it doesn't matter who you're brought up with. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter where you started. What matters is you find a goal and you go towards it. And the people that are meant to be around you will become around you. I am so grateful personally that I am surrounded by people that are so encouraging and so loving. And when I go, hey, I'm going to go do some weird witchcraft in the woods, they're like, all right, be safe. Call me when you have cell reception. And it's important to find the people that support you and love you. Absolutely. And are willing to work with you.
Okay. So now let's get into the witchcraft.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this white wicked witchcraft? The wicked, the white witches? Or are you more on the dark side? Or is there witches in the middle that are gray? Tell me a little bit about that and how that found you.
So I personally feel it's all a tapestry when it comes to like the dark side and the light side and the gray. The gray is the line that is mostly walked. Personally, I don't really go out and throw curses at people. I go, you know what? Obviously wasn't meant to be. Later. But if I find out someone has been doing something they shouldn't, like hurting children, I'm a bitch. But you don't hurt kids. You don't hurt animals. You don't hurt your friends, your family. Go out into life and experience it and love each other and hold each other accountable for your goals and express to each other what you want in life.
Right.
I personally do a lot of self-reflection. I do a lot of what's called shadow work. And it's not shadow as in dark and scary, but shadow work as in what is inside of you that needs to come out. Where's that anxiety coming from? Where's that sadness? Why are you depressed? There are obviously differences between a chemical imbalance and a situational imbalance.
Right.
Because like I know personally, I have a chemical imbalance in my head. That's why I have anxiety. It's always through the roof. Mm. It sucks, but I figured it out and I deal with it.
Okay. Wait, let me dial back. What makes you the gatekeeper? You know,
I'm not.
You are because you are, or as you stated, mm-hmm. If they're hurting animals, if they're hurting kids, the bitch comes out and, and you strike them with whatever it is. What gives you the right to do that? Why can't you bring them into, why is that a punishment? Why can't you bring them into the light of love and receptance and acceptance and try to mend that broken heart instead of invoking more pain or anger or distrust on them? If I'm misunderstanding, this is our opportunity to clear it up, because I don't know, because I'm going to come at you with an opposing point of view. That's what I do.
No, you're fine.
So that's always the first.
No, go ahead. No, that's the first step. Is go, yo, what the fuck did you do that for? Come on, let's figure this out. But if it's a repeat offender, it's like, okay, you've obviously not wanted to learn this. You don't want this acceptance. You don't want this love, mm-hmm. and you don't want to grow into be a better person. Bye.
Now, why do people that use black magic always refer to angels? But I can understand, because Satan was God's most perfect angel. I don't understand. I think that that's an oxymoron.
Hmm.
Explain that to me.
I'm not sure. I don't personally work with angels. I don't stay on just the dark side of the path. The darkest place I go is in myself.
Okay. All right. So what do you work with? Do you work with crystals? Do you work with meditation? Do you use mushrooms? Oh, yes, right. You said you don't do drugs.
It's okay. That's a fair assumption, honestly.
My next guest, she's plant medicine, and they are into the mushrooms and the psychedelics. But that transports you into a different place. Mm-hmm. You go somewhere different, and I'm not going to self-disclose. But yeah, they do. Okay, so explain that to me. You know, what methodology? Are you using potions? Are you using herbs? I mean, you know, is it a spell? You know, I saw somebody here in my family that had a book of spells. Tell me a little bit about that, because people want to know.
That's fair. So I personally work with the land around me, and I ask it and I go, hey, what's going on? Tell me about you. What do you need to thrive? And I start there. For example, right now I am in a temporary housing situation because we have an insurance claim going on in our house. Mm. And the entire main floor has been, it's currently in the middle of renovation. So I'm on a different property. It's not my land. It's not where I'm connected. The first thing I went out is I made an offering. It was a bunch of bird seed. And it's talking to the land and going, hey, you're kind of in charge here. What do I need to do? What do I need to know about you? What can I work towards while I am here for the next few months?
Okay. So you work within nature's realm. I'm a tree hugger. We connect with that. Girl. But I'm telling you, brains, tree hugging is amazing. One of my other guests turned me on to it, and I went there and I did a meditation, and I got a little annoyed because the man came next to me. Lady, are you okay? You okay? And I was just right in that point right there, and I looked at him and I was like, yes, I'm okay. But there is an energy, because that comes from the core. That comes from the root of the earth, mm-hmm. and it has been here. You know, that tree, no telling how long it's been here. I know, a couple hundred years. And so, yeah, I get it, earth and nature, and then it speaks to you. So you channel that energy. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so then you channel that energy, and then you make a request out to the universe based upon whatever your desire is at that time.
And it's always a give and take.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the give and take.
So I do a lot of offerings. In the morning, I make 3 cups of coffee, 1 for myself, 1 for my husband, and then 1 for the land. And I'll go and I'll drink my cup of coffee and I'll say yes. And then we'll finish breakfast. And then my husband's is just as crazy as I am, which is fantastic. We get along perfectly. And we both go outside and we take the mug of coffee and we say, thank you so much for being there with breakfast with us. Thank you so much for giving us what you do. Today will be a good day. And we're very particular in our language. We don't say, maybe we'll have a good day. It's today will be a good day. Today we will help people. Let us know how we can help you. Let us know if you have a message. And then we pour out the coffee onto the land. We take the cup inside and we go wash it. And that's what we do. And some mornings it's not a cup of coffee. Sometimes it's some extra bird seed. Sometimes it's like frozen peas or like a bag of veggies, because like animals love the veggies. And birds really shouldn't eat bread because it can make them bloated and then they get sick.
Gluten in it. That's what it is. Okay, so you give an offering.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of religions give offerings.
Yep.
Just give, you know, I always see the fruit. Burn offerings, sacrifice, you know, blood offerings. So let's talk a little bit about that, because you know,
absolutely.
this is getting pretty common now, or should I say, it's being exposed now. I've been in Hollywood for a long time, and I've seen a whole lot of stuff go down, and now all of these entertainers are coming up with their more, for the lack of a better term, demonic side.
Mm.
A lot of offerings. Now you see like Lil Nas, he done went 666, okay? All the way, worshiping and honoring the devil. When people do that, you better be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. You know, you just might get it. And I work with the light, okay? And it's different. I can't say one is better than the other, because if it's working for you, it's working for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, from a religious standpoint, it's not where I'm coming from. I'm talking about a spiritual. Because that's religion fair. Is a doctrine. It's like a GPS. It gives you your direction. It gives you your outline where you should go. Spirituality is the ultimate destination. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that there's a place called hell. I believe that there's a place that's holding, a holding pattern, you know, where you go through. But there are portals and there are channels and there are some demonic things that are not pleasant. That are not pleasant. And they can reverberate. Just like, you know, you got the holy rollers and the people on the white side, on the spiritual side. Oh, they just think that, you know, everything is good. Everything's not going to be good, brains. Mm-hmm. Everything's not going to be good. So tell me, what do you think about that? You know, about the darkness of it. Are you ever afraid?
Oh, absolutely. But isn't that the fun of it?
Okay. So, okay, you get off on the thrill. And that's... Am I overstating that?
A little bit. But here, let me explain. There is light and darkness in every single one of us. That's how it is. When you go outside into the darkness, there is a difference between, oh, it happens to be dark outside, versus the kind of darkness inside of you. Darkness is not evil. It's just like when the sun goes down, it doesn't mean everything out there is now evil. It just means it's dark. It means the sun has set. There are other lights that are shining to shine different visions that are there. Maybe before you couldn't see this flower because it only blooms at night. Maybe you are only able to see a trail that the fireflies light up because it only comes out at night.
Mm.
Everything has a light and a...
You said everything has a light and everything has dark. Okay, I get it. So why do you think people judge your spirituality so harshly? Is it because of fear? Is it because of ignorance? Is it because of shame? Is it because of religious doctrine? Is it a combination of all of that?
I think it is a combination of all of it. Before the takeover of Christianity that came over, everyone worked with what they had. And it could be in their own way. Some places had their own religions. Some places had their own doctrine. And eventually it was all taken over by a new era. And a lot of good things were learned, but also a lot of good things were lost. And now everyone is realizing that there has been a lot that's been lost and that it's okay to seek it out. Some folks, they call themselves reconstructionists. It's a big fancy word. I trip over words easily, but a reconstructionist is about trying to find the original way that they would practice their spirituality or their religion and bring it into the modern day. I am personally not a reconstructionist. It is way too heavy in the history books for me.
You can handle it. I think you can handle it. I think you got it.
But I personally focus on the here and the now and what is around me. How can we move forward? And folks are scared of that. When the culture of today says, God says one thing, you will follow this thing until the end of time, but you have other questions and all you're told is, this is the one piece of information you have, mm-hmm. It can get very confusing. You go, okay, but I have these feelings inside of me and I need help getting them out. If you shut them down, then I'm going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm. But it's also a form of mind control, okay? It is. You know, I've got another guest. Oh, brains, y'all got to stay tuned. I got another guest that has just been released from a guru after 30 years. 30 years. She was made to meditate for 4 hours a day. Girl, you get a good 30 minutes out of me and a good sweat in the sweat lodge, I'm done. Okay? Yep. 4 hours a day, mind control. She finally left after 30 years. She drives past that house every day to go to work. Every day. And there's still 40 people in that house, you know? So again, that's dark.
Mm-hmm.
So what to do? It's programming. What do you say to those people that say that this is a form of mind control and it is brainwashing?
I would say I am sorry that the people in your life have held so much power over you that you haven't had the chance to go and look at something else. And what I mean by that is that we are so used to people in power having the ultimate power. They are in charge. You listen to them. For example, the Pope. And I'm not saying that's brainwashing, but I am saying that when you're told that this one person has all of this power and you must listen to them, I personally don't vibe with that.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, again, but they have all the control, but they dictate it and interpret it to suit their best interests.
Mm-hmm. And there are people in power everywhere that do that.
Absolutely.
And those are the ones you got to look out for and be like, okay, maybe don't follow the word of that one. Right. Or, okay, they're talking about something interesting. Let's go and see. Okay, nope, got a bad vibe. Goodbye. It never hurts to talk to somebody new. It hurts when they make you feel like you cannot be yourself. For example, I've got some friends who early on in their journey, they found some other folks that were like, yes, we know everything when it comes to doing this specific kind of reconstruction, and you're going to come in and we're going to do all these things and we're going to build this stuff. And so my friends went and were like, yes, we're going to do it. And then they were told, you have to stop everything that you love. You can no longer do what you love. You cannot read those kinds of books. You cannot eat this kind of food. You cannot do this. And it took them years. And they finally came out of it and went, I just lost so much of my life because I got sucked in.
Right.
There are people like that everywhere. And it is up to us as individuals to be able to go, okay, let me have my own sense of navigation. Let me figure out myself. And you can talk to others and build it and make it better. But at the end, we should follow ourselves.
Okay.
In whatever fashion that may be.
Well, you know what? We have to know that there is a self. Mm-hmm. So now we talked about the spiritual empowerment. What are you pouring into people? I mean, when people come to you, because I'm looking and I'm thinking that you're living in a beautiful area, again, that you're communing with nature, that you have rituals, that you have ceremonies, that you have beliefs, do you use a religious text to talk from? Do you have certain guidelines? Are there children involved? Is there any sacrifice at all as far as blood? You laugh. Don't be laughing at me.
I'm laughing because it's fun.
Okay, because I'm trying to get to the nitty gritty because my brain is going to ask, well, you didn't ask that, April. You didn't ask that because I want to know. And I also see that you represent the LGBT community. Okay, so is this, not that one has to do with the other, but there's a lot going on right now. Okay, so just kind of break that down, in small, digestible bites. Did I give you too much at once?
A little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah, whatever you want to nibble on, let me know.
Okay, well, starting off, yes, this is my pride flag. It's made out of chainmail. I got it from a local coffee shop. and I am personally queer. The easiest way to describe it would be bisexual, but not. Then we can go all into that later if you'd like, but if not, that's
well,
okay.
Well, I mean, I had another guest on my show that explained that to me too, that, sexuality is between your legs. Your gender is between your ears.
That's a good way to put it.
And however you, and however you get down with your brown, that's, bump your ugly, do it. Do it. If you like it, I love it. I'm not tripping off of that, But what people could say is that is another point of confusion or misdirection. Now people don't want to be male or female. They want to be non-binary. I don't know how that works when you go to use the bathroom or when you go to have a baby. You got to have one or the other. I understand people don't want to identify, but it's the rebellion. It's the fight against the establishment that's so hard. It's like the politics of the world. That's my thought. All right.
That's fair.
So back to what you were saying.
That's okay.
This is fun.
Personally, being queer is not, it can be a part of my craft, but it is not a main focus of it. I know being able to do all of the work I have, I've been able to come to terms with it. And I've got a funny story about it, and I didn't realize I was absolutely not straight until I was older, because I was like, why is it that all the girls are pretty and boys are gross? And I didn't like anybody who wasn't a girl until I met my husband. And that's just very interesting. And he's just like, no, it's fine. No, we just both think girls are amazing. And it's like, yes.
Okay. All right. That's good. But that's why I picked up on something, because that's why I asked you from the get-go, is this a polyamorous, community that you're living in? Because you said that you're queer.
Nope.
Okay. But queer is not just about the sexual component. It can be a lifestyle. It can be choices and options in the way that you perform sex. Sometimes it's just the touch or the latex suit, or the mask. That can be erotic. It doesn't have to be the penetration, brains. Okay, just so that you know. We got a show on that too. But we cover everything here on The Edge. Okay, so you got that. So now someone from the outside could look at this and say, you know what, this is a beautiful young woman. She's had this trauma. She's had to raise her mom. Her mom has now passed away. Now she's married. Now she is living a queer lifestyle, but she's also, dealing in witchcraft. Is that correct? Am I saying that correctly? Okay. Why can I entrust her to help me better my life? Because I'm seeing all of these things that are in contrast. I'm not judging. I'm defining. In contrast to what American standards are, or life standards, not even American standards, but what life says it should be. She's totally off the chart. So I go to her and I work with her. How is this going to make my life better than what it is if I've already experienced some of these things? What do you say to that person?
I say you should live your life the way that makes you happy.
Okay.
And for me personally, that means living in a quote unquote commune with my best friends and playing Dungeons and Dragons on Friday nights. And on some nights we go and we do drum circles, and others we do guided meditations. And it's all about what makes you feel the most authentic to you. If you want to go and get yourself a partner and settle down and have kids and a white picket fence and a dog, do it. That's your life. That's what you want to do. If it makes you happy, I'm living my truth. Live yours. I can help with that.
Did you ever journey with traditional religion on more of the, and did it turn you off? What happened? What turned you switch?
I grew up in a Presbyterian church. And it was very, you should wear dresses every time you come, and you should do this and that and this other thing. And every other Sunday, the preacher comes and eats dinner with you because the community is very small. And I love the community aspect of it. I loved being surrounded by so many other people that had knowledge. And as a tiny child, I was like, yes, tell me why you have wrinkles. And they're like, that is a very rude question to ask. And I was like, okay, but you have them and I don't understand.
Right.
But for me, it was always about learning more. And then we had a preacher come in one day, and they took over for our older preacher because he was able to go and retire, which was great. And he was very, yes, we have to follow it this way, but we can do things a little different. And we had this new preacher come in, and she said, the Bible says this, and this is how it will be done. All of you are heathens for not following it the correct way. And you know, the church did not last much longer past that. That church actually got sold about 10 years ago, and it's become something else now. But one of the biggest things that my dad instilled in me was that you have your own path. Everyone is special. And sometimes your specialness might run into each other and you just gotta let it go.
Right. Well, I know my daughter had an experience. We were at church, and it was, I don't know, it was on that day. The preacher was up there and he was slobbering at the mouth and he was sweating and he was fanning and he was talking about gays. And he went from one side to the other, and I was shocked. I was like, wow, you know, you really kind of coming hard. And my daughter looked at me, she was about 12, and she said, mommy, can I tell you something? And I said, yes. She said, I don't want to come back here anymore. And I said, you don't want to come back here anymore? She goes, no. She says, because this is supposed to be a place of love. She said, you don't think that the choir director is gay? And baby, he went from a flicker to a flame. Oh, yes. She said, you know, his soul wants to go to heaven. But the way that the preacher is talking, it was awful. And so I, you know, as a parent, I didn't know what to do. I told her to have a meeting with the pastor. She had a meeting with the pastor, and I told him, don't disrespect my child. You talk to her like a little person because she's got a question that she wants to talk to you about. Long story short, she never went back, and I never made her go back. You know, because it turned her off, because it was very disingenuous. So all religions, anyone, can turn out to be not what we expect. I encourage my brains to be open to learning, at least have a conversation. I'm not telling you to convert. I'm not telling you to get some bird seed and go out in the woods with a cup of coffee. I'm not telling you to, you know, sit and do anything outside of what feels good and resonates with your soul. But you'll know when that bell rings and it's calling you, baby, you can't do nothing but answer to it.
Nope.
Whatever direction it takes you. So tell me a little bit about your program, what you're doing, you know, because I know that you're coaching. And because this has been spirited, I didn't think we was going to get into it this deep, but I have questions I wanted to know, and you was willing to answer them. So tell us a little bit about your programs, Catherine.
Absolutely. So I have a coaching program. It is called Seekers Reclaiming Your Life. And it is all about going through the steps to help you reclaim your life. Everyone is actively in the process of reclaiming. It's just sometimes we need a little help getting there. We talk about in one-on-one meetings, or we can have email meetings, or we can do group coaching. And it's all about digging in deep and getting everything that a therapist doesn't. Like a therapist helps you unpack your baggage, and a life coach helps you figure out where you're going next. And it is all about going, okay, well, what is this mindset that's stopping you? Oh, it's this. Okay. How can we work around that? Or what is your next big goal in life? Oh, you want to become a pilot. Fantastic. What's holding you back? You're scared of heights. Okay. Well, let's figure that out together.
Okay. What do you say to the person that is afraid that you are going to invoke your spiritual beliefs into their coaching? Because that's not what necessarily they're coming to you for. They're trying to reclaim their life. They're not trying to incorporate your doctrine, because again, you know, are you able to separate the two, or are you looking for a particular person that is in your same train of thought to work with? Who is your ideal client?
So when it comes to spirituality, that is my own spirituality. I don't press it on anybody. If we happen to click that way, fantastic. And if we don't, fantastic. It's your life is your life. Okay. I am here to help you live your life more authentically, not instill my own stuff on you.
Okay. Well, it's not so much instilling, but you know, you come with that. It's like, you know, you come with pretty red lipstick and, you know, and glasses, a nice denim jacket. By the way, I love your denim jacket. you know, you come with that. So that's a part of the package. There's no delineage of that. You come with a mindset. You come with a set of, not baggage, but you come with a set of experiences, life experiences that you can help someone go through. But also, too, you come with your own set of judgments. We all do. No one can tell me that they don't judge. Judgment is your boundaries. It's based off your experience. So I ask that because you have to disclose that to a degree, especially when you're coaching. When you're coaching, you are holding someone's life in the palm of your hands. You know, this is not for shit and giggles, brains. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're not doing it. You're talking about their livelihood, their family, their relationship, their health, their money, all of that when it comes to this coaching thing. And a lot of times there's coaches out there that are still trainees. So I want to be, you know, have a clear understanding of just what you want. And it's okay if you're dealing with just a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. There's millions of people that believe in what you're believing and follow along and play D&D. You know, no, really. I mean, they really do. And they love it. They absolutely love it. So that's okay. But I'm just saying for the person that is, you know, again, trying to seek. Because they're vulnerable. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So tell me more.
I personally won't instill any of my stuff onto you when it comes to my spirituality, but I will be open and talking about it. You're exactly right. It is a package deal. You don't get just part of me. You get all of me, which includes just sometimes it's a recipe. Sometimes it's, why don't you go stand outside for 10 minutes? Just exist. Turn your phone off. Sometimes it's, here, look at my cat and I'll pick him up and hold him to you. But it's all about what you need. Sometimes we don't fit and that's okay. Sometimes you don't need someone as weird as I am in your life as your life coach. And if that's how it is, that's how it is. I know others that I can recommend to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if you need a nerdy, queer, spiritual weirdo to help you live your life the most authentically, I've got you. I've got your back. Just message me.
All right. and that's a beautiful thing because, again, there's something and someone for everybody. And I commend you, Catherine, for having the courage to stand in your truth. If this is who you are and this, you know, makes your life fulfilled and you're happy, you know, who am I to, you know, draw your box? I'm not that, you know. I don't think outside the box. I draw boxes. Sometimes mine has no walls and maybe like your old trailer has no floors.
Yeah.
But there is space in the middle. And I think that you're awesome sauce. And thank you for just, you know, going at it with me back and forth.
Absolutely.
I want to know. And you're young. You're a millennial. You know, you're a millennial. And so the world is changing now. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as, again, you know, sexuality, everybody is a lot more open. They're a lot more fluid. They, you know, they live in communes. They don't want to identify with male or female. You know, there's more people that are queer. And that's okay. Once upon a time, it was, you know, wrong to be a black woman married to a white man. You know, so there's all kind of discriminations, but that's not what we do here on the Edge. We are here because we're brains. We are smart, heady people. And whether we agree or disagree, we can't show up here disagreeable. That is not tolerated because we're here to learn. And thank you for being a teacher today.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on TikTok. Yeah, it's mostly Facebook and TikTok. I'm all over the place on both of those. But my personal profile page is Your Cottage Witch on Facebook. You can also find my business page at Cottage Witch Designs. You can find me on Instagram at Cottage Witch Designs. I've got an email, cottagewitchdesigns@gmail.com. I've got a theme going on here. Can you tell?
I got it. Is your D&D streaming?
It is not streaming. We are actually, we do record it, but that is so we are going to create a novel out of it later in the future. Okay. Yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
Do you do LARPing?
No, sadly no LARPing. One day. Okay. Yeah, haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, that's all the thing too. I try to keep up. Thank you so much. You are, you know, awesome sauce. Okay, keep doing what you're doing to make your life happy, because it's not about me, it's not about you brains, it's about her and whatever makes her happy and floats her boat. Okay, all right, I love you, baby.
I love you. Thank you so much for today. I appreciate you.